A presentation of the Public Affairs and Events Department of KLRB News.
This is Dialogue Assassination with Research Specialist Mae Brussel. For KLRB, I'm Gloria Barron. Well, we've got a lot of territory to cover today, Mae. So I think you mentioned something earlier to me about McCloskey.
Yes, well, people have asked Gloria who to write to about getting information, truth about the political assassinations to the American public. And we now have a candidate. Everybody listening has a candidate. I didn't know there was one. I said to write to anybody you want and tell them that you want some truth and some facts out about the Chappaquiddick accident, what's in the National Archives, John Kennedy information, the Robert Kennedy trial, and all that, and the Sirhan trial, the assassination down there, all the evidence. We want it all out on the table so that researchers can examine it. But yesterday's paper had a wonderful article. It said, McCloskey shifts from the war issue. Now, he's the first candidate. They've come out for a lot of different things in economic policies, so forth. Muskie was here in San Francisco this weekend, Santa Clara, talking about what he wanted. But here's McCloskey, who's saying that the Vietnam issue is not going to be the issue of the 72 campaign, in quotes, broaden the campaign. The issue of truth in government is more important. The loss of faith in the administration pervades everything we do, and we must restore truth in government, and my campaign will raise that question. Now, we've quoted the man from La Mancha line that facts are the enemy of truth. So I would like to take on Mr. McCloskey and give him some facts and see if his campaign will still be truth, just like we want to meet Jack Anderson and put my facts against his investigators on his putting down the researchers of the assassinations. We'll write to McCloskey and tell him, Paul McCloskey, Representative Paul McCloskey from California, and say, Mae Brussel appreciates the fact that you are going to run a campaign of truth in government. And she wants to meet with you, again, anytime, any place. And let's face some real truth, like, who are you opposing? If you're running for president, who is your opponent? Did he get there by usurping the power? Let's find out really who you're opposing so you don't have to run your campaign. That's the important issue. And we'll all give you some facts and see if you're still running on truth or are you just another phony. Because all along since 1960 campaign in 64 and 68, I said that there were so many lies being thrown about that it wasn't worth getting out of bed in the morning to go to the polls at all. And certainly by 72, we'd either have a total police state, which is shifting that new vote of the young Americans for freedom down in Houston this week, nominating Spiro Agnew, is an entire show, which I would like to do next week if the assassination news isn't too heavy, reading the letters of the men who infiltrated the young Americans for freedom in the Texas area and came in and their own wording how they were to take over this group and be financed by the Texas oil people, the Texas conservatives. And by 72, it said it only takes a handful of people, 10 or 20, to rule the world. And the men who were going to take over the young Americans for freedom in the Texas area were compared themselves to Hitler and great conquerors. And they referred to John Kennedy in those days in the past tense as being dead, and he was still alive in these letters. These letters were going back and forth to Munich, Germany, and those were the men that I talked about on the program where he talked about the infiltration of the right-wing group, and they were not politically minded. They were ambitious young men who were doing this for kicks and were to take over this organization. And it's interesting this weekend that the man they want for president of the United States is Agnew, who I have linked the people that wanted him for our vice president in the first place were the people that overthrew Greece, the Pappas Foundation, the CIA Foundation. So I want to show the complete control of this country in 72 by that group. And if Representative McCloskey wants truth, I will give him facts. And he better not bandy the word truth around. We'll move along. But that was good news. Write to Representative McCloskey and say, what will you do about the current issue right now? If you don't want to go in the John Kennedy, just get down to Los Angeles, because we're going to do most of the show on what's happening in Los Angeles. And let's see, he's from California, so let him go right down there. That's his state. He's representing that state. So let him go to Los Angeles. Gloria, there was a book review in the New York Times this week. I got four books. I told you last week how much reading material came while I was away, and I got four new books to read. And I'll give you the titles, and also you write this down, this book title, and I'm going to give you two more books this week. I gave you four. I know you haven't read them yet or bought them. I just know you haven't. You should have had one in your hands by now, but I'm going to give three more titles this week. Edward J. Epstein wrote a book called Inquest. It was one of the first books out in 1966. He charted out the amount of work the Warren Commission did and did not do, and questions the validity of this commission to come to an opinion. It's a totally schizophrenic book, because in the end he comes to the conclusion that Oswald did the murders, but three-quarters of the book is how the commission didn't do the work they were supposed to do. And if the first part is right, if he documents the meetings that they went to and didn't go to, then how could they come to that conclusion? So I throw out his conclusion, but when you take the documents which are there of what they didn't do, then you say you have to have another commission. Edward J. Epstein, Inquest. Another book that I want you to get, this new book, A Search for Justice. It's called A Search for Justice. And there's three writers, Squires, Ritter, and Hemp, H-E-M-P-H-I-L-L, Hemp Hill. Three gentlemen from Nashville, Tennessee, they were reporters, and they covered three trials in the United States, the Clay Shaw, James Ray, and Sirhan case. And they were unrelated to each other. They didn't compare notes or anything about what they were doing, and they covered these three trials, and they came to the conclusion that the American justice system, if you could go by the political assassination trials, and this is what I'm trying to tell the American people, if I study those trials thoroughly, then I know there can be no justice in the lower courts for anybody. If you know your subject well, and it's interesting because these men have done it, they have covered the trials that I mentioned. And they came to the conclusion, each independently reached the conclusion, that American justice works accidentally, if at all. None of them felt that they would have much confidence if their own chance of getting a fair trial were put to trial in the same courts or with the same judges. Now, this is what I've told you, people. You don't stand a chance in court. If this is the way the justice system can work on a big case where all the eyes of the world are watching and you can analyze if you want, then nobody has a chance in court. And this is just what they're telling you. I say, if you say the assassination story, you understand that commissions don't work, that justice doesn't work. And somebody else far away in Tennessee that I don't know, these men have covered these trials and pulled together and give the evidence. The book review said they found the judicial system so lacking long overdue reform that the administration of justice is in serious trouble, and often on a day-to-day basis. And it actually is inclined to thwart justice. And this is just what I was saying. In the case of James Ray, the journalist came away convinced, but despite his guilty plea that he received, that there was a conspiracy, and questions of the April 4th, 1968 murder of Dr. King were never answered. If those were never answered, Spiro Agnew should not be vice president of the United States, and that's a strong statement, because he came in on the wave of the King killing. And if that conspiracy was done with the help of the FBI, which Harold Weisberg believes and knows, and all of us know, and it's written up in the book, Frame Up, but all of us know this, then the people who took advantage of that death, if they work with the FBI at all, should not be in those positions of power. Now, it says the administration of justice succeeds in punishing a guilty man, because he was involved in a way, James Ray did have a part, but it made no pretense of initiating a search for truth or putting down what very may well have been a lie by Ray. The Sirhan shot they went on that killed Robert Kennedy in June 68 was viewed in front of many witnesses. But the only question at the time of the trial was his sanity. That was the only issue. And the authors contend that that prolonged million-dollar trial made the sentence just as bad as if they had made a deal with the jury, that they bent the ear of the jury by saying he was insane with having this parade of psychiatrists and never having a cross-examination from other people. Now, we're going to go into the Sirhan thing, because we're going to go right now to Evel Younger and the case in Los Angeles, because I begged the Los Angeles Police Department, Mayor Yorty, District Attorney Evelyn Younger, to let me come down and tell them there was a conspiracy, and they wouldn't let me. And they took Sarah Hansen and put him in a $1 million box and brought him in a parade of psychiatrists. And at one point, Sirian shook his head and said to his lawyer, they tried to say he was mentally deranged to a position where he couldn't plan what he was doing. And Sirian made the remark, if I'm so deranged, why would they use me as an agent of the FBI or CIA? He said to his attorney, he laughed, if I'm that deranged, why did they use me? Now, this is common knowledge, see, that he made this kind of a remark. And everyone thought, oh, he's kidding, he has delusions of grandeur. Well, this week you got a letter, didn't you, from Evelyn Younger, Gloria?
Yes, we did.
And he was defending himself and his position in Los Angeles?
Right. It says it was inevitable that the conspiracy theory would be suggested. That makes a better story. And then he goes on, he said, my answer, yes, definitely there was a conspiracy. When 65 witnesses testified concerning any incident, I am not disturbed concerning minor inconsistencies in the testimony. I would be concerned if all 65 witnesses testified in precisely the same manner. And, yeah, well, it's what we had mentioned
this
before.
Is what we he wrote a letter to KLRB on the trial in Los Angeles, the Sirhan trial. And he wrote the same letter all over the state, and he had in the Los Angeles Times editorial the same letter, dated August 18th, 1971. It came to KLRB August 19th, 1971, in which he said that when he prosecuted Sirhan, he knew that someday someone bring out the point of conspiracies. He said it was inevitable that they would because it makes a good story. And then he said, I know that some people whose motives might or might not be apparent would never let the case be put to rest. Well, my motive isn't what he thinks it is. I'm not making money and I'm not a troublemaker. We've gone into that. I want facts, and facts will bring what I indicate is truth. He said he was still asked about inconsistencies in the trial. I'm going to read a few of them in a minute, inconsistencies. But he's not disturbed because a few witnesses, he says, when you have 65 people testifying, you will get inconsistencies, and they can be evaluated by the jury. The jury was only allowed to hear the witnesses that Mr. Younger allowed to be called, so that you wouldn't even get many inconsistencies if the witnesses were selected for the jury. Then the jury only heard minor inconsistencies. It's what the jury didn't hear. The people that could have been brought in, or in my research, the witnesses not called, would have blown the jury's mind. It would have thrown the case out. But as long as the witnesses are selected by the persons involved in a crime, then the jury only hears the ones that they want them to hear. Now, it should say that he went on in his letter, and he said that this investigation was one of the most complete, if not the most complete, criminal investigation ever conducted by a law enforcement agency in the United States. Now, if what he's saying is true, then that book on American justice just has to be about the most valid book in the world, that nobody stands a chance of a fair trial. Because if that was the most complete investigation in the United States, heaven help any person who's on trial on a murder charge. In this article in the LA Times and the letter you have at the studio, he says all possible information was made available, 4,000 witnesses were interviewed, 65 were called before the district attorney's office to testify. Out of 4,000, 65 testified. He had many files on the case, and that is in that letter. Now, when the murder of Robert Kennedy took place, the Los Angeles Times had an article. The murder was in June 68. In July 14th, 1968, there was an article in the Los Angeles Times that says 23-man task force was selected to probe Kennedy's murder. A select team, handpicked for their skills, will go into the murder investigation, plus men. Now, I'm sorry to quote from it to put this in, that you're thinking in terms of a CIA or a military takeover because you want to remove Robert Kennedy, like you already know the research on the John Kennedy murder. So we're going back to the Los Angeles Police Department, and the district attorney, Evelyn Young, has decided that he will have military connections because men in the past will investigate this who have developed military connections in the two continents, and the 23 task man force will go into the political underground and so forth. The boss is Younger's top aide, Chief Deputy District Attorney Lynn Compton, a one-time UCLA football hero, is going to head the investigation. Men were drawn from all the police divisions, non-detective specialized skills, and so forth. There was a talk of going into European and Asian connections because of a conspiracy theory. Since the fatal shooting 9 days ago, investigators have said that available evidence indicate it was the work of one man. It was very important. Younger said that no lead, this is what caught my fancy, Younger said no lead, no piece of evidence, no matter how kooky, will be overlooked. If there are 10,000 leads, if we checked out 9,999 and let one go, someone would write a book accusing us of covering up something. Unimportant leads that might be ignored in other cases will be checked out. We would not want to invite someone like New Orleans District Attorney Jim Garrison to come in 4 years later and say, we didn't do this, we didn't do that. We are aware that this is not just another criminal case. We are aware the whole nation, the whole world is watching, and we will proceed. Well, at that point, I got on the telephone and I called the Los Angeles Police Department. Sergeant Pageant, Sergeant Collins were in charge of this task force. And I said, are you ready for me? I'm coming to Los Angeles. I've worked on the John Kennedy murder, and I will be there. At the time of the murder of Robert Kennedy, Mary Yorty got on the radio and television and held a diary of Sirhan's and told the nation that Sirhan was a communist. And I know the front stories of the CIA and how they work, and I didn't realize the role Mary Yorty was playing, so I called him on the telephone and talked to his secretary and said, Mary Yorty shouldn't dangle that diary around because he's being used. It's a cover story. There are too many indications. You see, remember, Gloria, that 6 days before this murder, I put a letter, I said this on the program for those who didn't hear programs before who are new, I put a letter in the hands of Rose Kennedy at the Mark Thomas Inn in Monterey, California, dated May 28th when she was here, that Robert Kennedy was going to be killed, and I knew he would and how and why. So 6 days later, when Mary Yorty is holding this big communist smokescreen in Los Angeles, the cover story like they used in the Oswald thing, I felt free on the basis of knowing how this would happen to say, look, you're repeating the Dallas, and I didn't realize then that Los Angeles was like Dallas. You're being used. I didn't think he was part of it then. I do now, but I said, you're being used. So I told him to put the diary away. So I have a letter I brought in the studio today, Gloria, that I took out of my files. I've written to public officials since 1963. It's dated July the 5th, 1968. And this is the one that I sent to Mr. Younger. It said, Dear Mr. Younger, he was the District Attorney of Los Angeles, the Attorney General of your state right now. I read in the Los Angeles Times, June 14th, that you have appointed a 23-man task force to take information regarding the associations and contacts of Sirhan with regards to the murder of Robert Kennedy. You may not want another Garrison to appear 4 years later, but for your information, Jim Garrison gave the FBI information about David Ferry immediately in November 1963 he was released without investigation. Jim Garrison, we said, was on the case right away, and here was Mae Brussel on the case right away. My background and research on the John Kennedy assassination allows me to speak with you about the Sirhan case, and I went into the volumes I had cross-filed, the years I had spent, my research on the murder of John Kennedy. Back to Sirhan, I said. Sergeant Pageant and Sergeant Collins called me this week because I had called Mayor Yorty's office, and the message I gave the mayor was to keep quiet about the diary and the communist associations because whatever notes were given to the police by that family were written and planted by the central intelligence agencies for purpose of throwing the evidence into every direction except the true motive. After 1 month of collecting evidence, it is the even with the tight lid you thought you could put upon the public, I have enough idea of how the Sirhan family operated and their contacts and where they received their money, how they worked, that I can sit and present this case to you. The men asked me to write you a letter with factual and documented material. I went into the fact that famous spies like Kim Philby or Gary Powers with the U2 can be the most famous agents in the world, and I can't bring documents in showing what they did. I can bring information, but nobody had documents. They don't leave documents around. I go into the case of Kim Philby and Gary Powers. How many factual documents do you want me to bring to Los Angeles? I said, I will come to Los Angeles to see you any day during the month of July. I was going on vacation in August. I want to see you and as many of the men of the 23 Task Force as possible. Sergeant Paget and Sergeant Collin told me on the telephone there is no such body in fact exists like it's in the newspaper. And they are the men gathering evidence. And they also told me that all evidence of a plot or conspiracy is being sent to your office and that it is massive and the police will not be accused of being a branch of the Dallas Force. At some time in American history, you legal men are going to have to meet your responsibility to all the people of this nation and not the ones above who are giving you the orders. My work is prepared, and I am waiting to hear from you. Sincerely, May Russell. That is to Evel Younger, dated July 1968.
Did you get a reply?
I never got a reply. I told you I got a telephone call about 2 weeks later. I have the date at home. Are you Magnon Brussel? That was my maiden name. They didn't know whether I was Mr. and Mrs. because the May that I write probably looked like an MR, an MRS. Yes, I'm Magnon Brussel. This is the police department in Los Angeles. Fine, I thought they wanted to set a date with me. I said, how much do you weigh? What color is your hair? What nationality are you? I gave them the information, and we hung up, and they compared it, I guess, to the same Magnon Brussel who was doing research on the John Kennedy and believed it was the same person, and it went into their files. I never heard from them again. Now we'll go to Los Angeles, because what Mr. Younger is telling you, I wrote a letter to Buff Cody in Salinas and to Representative Bert Talcott, because Mr. Talcott, before he went to Europe, had shown an interest in these programs while I was in Washington, and he'll be out here on the coast. I do want to see him. And I wrote a letter to Bert Talcott's office this week when Mr. Younger sent out his defense of his conspiratorial put down, and I said, I hope you do not interpret this as a gentleman's agreement, and you all know what that term is if you live through the 40s or 50s. It's an under-table way of saying you don't have to believe all this. We've gone into it. There's always kooks with other motives. I wrote a letter, I do not want you to take this as a gentleman's agreement that it will not be necessary to meet with me when Mr. Talcott comes out here, because let Mr. Evel Younger, who's named in a lawsuit in Los Angeles regarding this conspiracy, be decided by the jury to be guilty or innocent. It is not for him to say nothing happened. Now, because he's named in a legal suit, let him clear it with the jury. And, he's like Clay Shaw going around saying, I'm innocent. But it took the federal government to stop the trial. Let the jury decide. That's what it's all about in America. And I feel if Evel Younger wants to tell everybody, don't believe all this talk. Let the evidence, let's stick with the facts. And if a man is named in a suit, let's listen to the facts and get both sides. Now, I'm going to keep you up to date because when we went on this show, Gloria, at the end of June, the AP wire, the UP wires had nothing about the evidence in the Sirhan case in Los Angeles, remember? And we broke on the wave of a thing that now is carried all the way. The New York Times finally had a 4-inch article about the evidence there, but more will be coming out because I made a very broad blanket statement when Barbara Blair challenged the appointment of Dean William Wolfer as criminologist in Los Angeles. I made a statement, there's no way out of this for the Los Angeles Police Department or Mr. Evel Younger or the FBI. If the people will keep the interest going, the evidence will show you how trials work and how conspiracies work right in our own state, so we don't have to go back 7 years and pound the doors of the National Archives. We can work in the state of California, which affects our laws and lives. Well, now, the Los Angeles Times had a news blackout for a whole year. It was in their city. I told you they didn't even carry the story of the polka dot dress girl that was killed. But they did have a long 4-page article, and it carries so much evidence that we're talking about that I'm going to read a lot of it to you now. And the headline article was, Sirhan Case, Was There a Second Gunman? This is Eva. As of September 1971, this is what's happening in Los Angeles, gun tampering inquiry may have bearing on the Kennedy killing theory. Last May 28th, Barbara Blair accused criminalist Dwayne Wolfer of errors and violations and procedures in the ballistic evidence of three major murder cases in Los Angeles in which three men were awaiting execution. And she raised the question of whether a second gunman killed Robert Kennedy. She asserted that Mr. Wolfer, who was up for appointment to become head criminalist in Los Angeles, should have this position because evidence, she said, that he had broken four standard precepts or procedures in investigating Kennedy's death, but he also tampered with other witnesses and evidence in the murder of two people in Los Angeles, one named Doyle Terry, and the other was Deputy District Attorney Jack Hershke. Now, this is very interesting. I'm going to end the quote here in the Los Angeles Times. When Sirhan Sirhan was arrested, he was taken into the jail, and it was 2 in the morning, and they said, how long have you been in this country? He didn't answer. Do you speak English? He didn't answer. How much do you weigh? No reply. He spoke up and said, these handcuffs are too tight, and I'm thirsty, and then he shut up. Are you married? He didn't answer. Do you have a family? No answer. Did the detectives tell you to be silent? No answer. Do you speak English? No answer. Can you talk? No answer. What's your name? No answer. Who are you? No answer. Are you ashamed of what you've done? Answer. Hell no, he answered. Then the police went out of the room and they came back, and the district attorney's office, a man by the name of Murphy, was in the room with him. And Sirhan said to George Murphy, not the ex-senator, but the district attorney man, how long have you been with the DA's office? And Murphy answered, 3 years. I was a policeman and I retired, and I've been 3 years with the district attorney's office. And Sirhan said, do you remember Hershke, being Jack Hershke? And the DA says, very well. He was convicted of killing his wife and lover. Now, Robert Blair Kaiser, who writes in his book, RFK Must Die, makes an observation, a writer's observation, that the prisoner, Sirhan Sirhan, was very curious about Hershke. And Murphy's answer to him was, well, it was a hard case to follow, and we'll talk about it later. And then he said, Sirhan, did you read about it? Where did you know about it? We'll talk about it. This was 2:20 in the morning. It's just about 2 hours since Robert Kennedy was killed. They went to another room, had a little press conference, and Sirhan was there, and he wouldn't talk. It was 3:15 in the morning, and it was the interrogation room. And they called in some other persons from the DA's office, and then Sirhan motioned to them, come over here, he wanted to talk. And they thought this was the break they wanted. And he got the public officials around, and all he said was, I want to talk about Jack Hershke. And they didn't know why he wanted to do it. And he talked about Kershke's death penalty, how you reduce a death penalty to life in prison. What are the technicalities of the Hershke case? Now, this was a very peculiar behavior, Robert Kaiser said, that the prisoner was settling down and enjoying, I'm quoting Bob Kaiser, the prisoner was settling down and enjoying the situation as much as he could. And it was 3:25 in the morning. They didn't know his name. They didn't know anything about him. He had just 3 hours before shot Robert Kennedy. And he wanted to talk on the philosophical discussion of crime and punishment. Robert Kaiser observed it was appropriate and it was inappropriate. Now, it seems that the tampering of the evidence in the Jack Hershke case reduced the Hershke penalty from death penalty to life. And in Sirhan's case, Sirhan knew something about the district attorney's office before the guns went off. He had a word or a blackmail. It was a magic word. And every time they say, what's your name? He says, you know, Jack Hershke. So that as you look back in the trial in Los Angeles now, the same district attorney that fouled up the evidence that gave Hershke and Sirhan the death penalty is so mishandled that they're going to get life, and then probably they'll get out. But Sirhan knew something from the time that he was arrested, and the only word he'd used for hours was Jack Hershke. Now, back to the Los Angeles article. On June the 1st, Chief of Police Edward Davis, who was also named in a trial as a defendant in this trial in Los Angeles that we're going into, dismissed Barbara Blair's vendetta against Wolfer. She didn't want him a head criminologist in Los Angeles, and Chief of Police Davis said, in my estimation, he's the top expert in the country. End quotes. Now, Evelyn Younger says this was the top investigative trial in the agency, and the chief of police in Los Angeles is saying Wolfer is the top. If these are the top people in the country should have a complete overhaul of the whole judicial system. In their opinion, second largest city in the United States outside of New York, if the chief of police says that this criminologist is the head man in the whole country, then the whole country is sick, sick, sick.